He's our shelter in the time of storm. He's our refuge. He is our strength. Somebody say our very present help in a time of trouble. Amen. He is everything. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. We're so grateful that those of you that have joined us online and those that are in here, we're grateful. The Lord had blessed us once again to be in the house of worship. And we give him all the praise and all the glory. Again, our youth have done a great job and continuing to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. So we give God thanks and all the praise. We did receive a thank you from the Deltas. And so we will be posting this on next Sunday. But they're sending a thank you for all of the things that they've been able to work out through our church. And we're grateful for them and celebrating with them and what they are celebrating their Sisterhood Month. We'll post this on next Sunday. Amen. Want to also remind you that we will be having our church meeting on March the 22nd. And that church meeting will be at 7 p.m. We have leadership training that will be also on that evening at 5 p.m. We say 5 p.m. We only start about 5:30. So you know how it is. We'll get together and meet and greet. Amen. But welcome, welcome as we join together today. We're continuing with our Pentecost series. We've been doing a series of messages on Pentecost, so I'm going to ask you to turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And what we're trying to do is several things. One is to understand what is our relationship in the church as we now have received the same Spirit of God. We have God's Spirit to guide us. And a lot of people don't have a clear understanding as to how the Holy Spirit works, what he does in our lives, and we've been trying to go through that. We've been actually looking at the power of Pentecost. We've talked about the problems that come as a result of Pentecost. And today, we'll be also talking about Pentecost. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person and not an experience. Everybody okay with that? As a matter of fact, he is God in your life. He's the power of God that works in us. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least shadow of Peter passing by, that might overshadow them, and they would be healed. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing the sick and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. May God continue to bless the reading of his word. I want to share with you the signs of Pentecost. You may be seated. The signs of Pentecost. Let us pray. God, we thank you again for blessing us to be in worship. We ask that you now speak to our hearts, and not only those who've assembled in here, but those that are on Facebook, those that are online, and those that will be viewing later. We pray that you'd reach out to them and touch their lives. Set them free from whatever bondage that they're facing, and let them know that you indeed are Lord and that you are Christ in our lives. I pray you'd open our hearts now, help us to understand your word, that we may apply it in our lives. We humbly ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before I get into the message, let me thank those that showed up at the courthouse on Friday for the property that we're looking at on Clark's Road, and the judge did approve of that, so now Crossroad will become the trustees of that property where we can memorialize and talk about the people that have served in our church. So thank you. We had a good showing. Folks thought we were showing up for church. But we just wanted to let the folks know that have gone before us, that they left a legacy for us. They left a legacy. And speaking of legacy, the church is not a legacy of man, but that of God. Amen. It came from God. On the day of Pentecost, God birthed the church. And so when you are sitting here, when we are sitting in worship, we're celebrating something that did not begin with us. And until Jesus comes, it will continue. Don't ever think that this work of God depends on a human to keep it going. It depends on the Holy Spirit, the ministry of God that birthed the church and that is now growing the church so that we might become in the fullness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what is it that we can display? What can we say to the world? I want to put it in terms of a sign. If we had to present a sign to the world, how would that sign read? What would it look like for us to be a church? Now, to let you know what's happening in Jerusalem, it's been about 3 or 4 years since Pentecost. All the crowds that assembled there to celebrate and to worship on that original day of festival that they call the Pentecost or the Festival of First Fruits, they're now gone. But the people still continue to worship God. The religious leaders thought to themselves, well, we'll just give it a little time and they'll all die out. We won't have any more of this thing called a church movement. The Jesus movement will be gone. He's gone and the movement will be gone. Or so they thought. But that mighty power kept operating. That mighty power of God kept moving. Even now, to our generation, we're now experiencing the power of God Almighty and not of man. Somebody ought to clap their hands to that. People were being saved. They were being delivered from demons. They were being healed. God was stretching out his hand through the apostles and through the leaders of the church to let people know that God was real, that he was working among us. Now, as we look at the operation of the church, what can we say that we're now doing that reflects the glory of God? How are we operating, and what is it that we're using to get his work done? Notice I said his work, not ours. There has to be some signs. Somebody said if you got something, there ought to be some signs that you got it. Amen? Now, we know what signs are, and we know that they reflect some things of what's happening. And the church at that day, no one had to examine closely. They could look at it from a distance and see that, number one, they were devoted to God. They trusted God. Their dependence was in the living God. They also knew that they were speaking forth the word of God. It wasn't hearsay. It was, this is God's word. When we stand up today, we have the authority to tell people, the Lord is my shepherd. We have the authority to tell people the Lord is the light of my life. I talked with a couple of young people on last week, and they were talking about some of the challenges they were having, and many of them were saying, we don't want to get into trouble. We want to just do what's right. So you do have kids who are going to school to learn. Hello? Even though there are a lot of them that want to get in trouble, want to prove a point, And I'll show you a little bit later that proving a point is not necessary. Amen. It's something that's really you're wasting your time. Just live. Just do what you're supposed to do and live. The church of God was thriving. It was moving. And they were focused on needs. Notice the scripture says some of the people were demon-possessed. Some of them were sick. Some of them were ill. Many of them, all of them, needed direction for their lives. And guess what? The church was meeting that need. They were focused on these things, and then they were growing in the Lord. How many of you feel like you're growing? You know, you ought not to just give the testimony, I got saved a long time ago. Amen. I want to know what God is doing in your life right now. I want to see how that you're relating to people, how you're showing yourself in the world, and whether or not you're living for the glory of God. There are a lot of people that have many things on their mind, but I'm going to tell you something. Only what you do for Christ will really last. As we get into this text today, we're going to call something called signage lifestyle or lifestyle signage. What does your life say? How does your life live? And I got a couple of quotes I'm going to go through, but it's really the way you live that will tell people what you really believe. How many of y'all know that? Now, if I came in today and I was acting a fool and talking like a fool, you'd probably say he's a fool. So you have to recognize a person by their lifestyle. If I said one thing and yet I did another, it's going to reflect in my lifestyle. Let me give you some examples of what we mean by lifestyle. Here's a quote by Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said, "The true sign of knowledge is not intelligence, but imagination." People who can imagine. I like that. I like that saying. Another saying that we have by Maria Montessori. She said, "The greatest sign," you teachers, you'll love this one. "The greatest sign of success for a teacher is when to say, the children are now working as if I'm not here." Amen. Amen. That's a pretty good one, isn't it? Here's one by Aesop's Fables. He said, "Gratitude is the sign of noble souls." Gratitude is the sign of noble souls. I did a little research on Aesop. He was a former slave, but he learned how to tell stories. And because he could tell stories real good, people, they set him free. So sometimes it's the way you talk. The way you talk can entrap you, or it can also set you free. Dr. Miles Monroe said, "The greatness of a man is measured by the way he treats the little man. Compassion for the weak is a sign of greatness." Caring about people. Lifestyle. And what they're all saying is, it's the life that you live. Young people, it's the life that you live. Now, I know a lot of y'all want to be cool. And believe it or not, at my age, I had wanted to be cool when I was your age. I wanted to dress cool, but you know, you ain't had that many clothes, so you had to do your best. But coolness is not always doing the odd things, it's doing the right things. It's following the path that you know will lead to success in life. We heard the testimonies of these students who are now preparing to go on with their life and to become professionals in their field. It takes work. You have to really dig in and say to yourself, "I'm going to be somebody." Dr. Franklin over at the school, she faces that all the time, trying to mold and shape lives so to the point where people can say, "Okay, I want to be somebody. I want to be somebody. I want to be able to do something." It's called your lifestyle. It's how you live. Mark Twain, I love this one. I underscore this one as well. "When your friends begin to tell you how young you look, that's a sign that you're really getting old." "Why are you sure you look young for your age?" And you love it when they add in there, "for your age." Lifestyle. Albert Camus said, "The need to be right is a sign of a vulgar mind." You don't need to be right. Just do it. You know, you don't need to explain to people, "I'm going to do what." Just do it. I think Calmus was right, because a lot of people, based on this, have started wars. They've started just different movements for no reason whatsoever, just to prove that they're right. So you get an idea of what these saying and what these expressions are all about as far as our lifestyle, the way that we live, the way that we're speaking to the world. Billy Graham said, "To shed tears for self is a sign of weakness. But to shed tears for others is a sure sign of strength and compassion. Your lifestyle. Now, you think about this. We sit in a worship service. We may participate in various ways in that worship service, praising God and saying, Lord, we love you. But what is your sign to the world? When the Holy Spirit was given to the church, it wasn't just to assemble us in here. It was to send us out into the world, and Jesus called us witnesses. He said, you are my witnesses. You are speaking to the world in a language that they can be convinced, Lord, you're God. So my question is, are we saying that? Are we really doing that? Are we living up to the expectation that the Lord has for us? And if so, how are we doing it? Some important things, and I'm going to get on into this message, but some important things that I've learned. If you're going to have a sign, you better place it in the right place. If it's sitting over here in a corner, doesn't matter how pretty it is. Oh, isn't that sign? Can anybody see it? You got to think about the placement. The scripture says that as a result of the apostles' work, what they were doing, the performing of miracles and how God was blessing, they would place people on the street. Notice the sign is where the people can read it. You've got to be in a place where God can use you in a way. You don't just call it performing, you call it ministering, serving, helping. Let me ask you a question. How many people last week did you see that were down? My second question, what did you do about it? Did you reach out to them? Did you say, hey, I care about you? Or did you do like the religious leaders did, the priest and the Levite pass by on the other side of the street? You got to put the sign where the sign is needed. Second thing about it, they were able to minister in a way that they were talking to people, sharing with people. I want to tell you something. I went to my doctor the other day. I'm telling my news, and the reason why I tell it so nobody can gossip on me. I tell on myself. But she was asking a lot of questions. What about this? I got a whole series, and she, you know, every time I say something, she'd write it down, all that. You know, but here's the thing. How would you feel if you went to a doctor, they didn't say a word, and they just started giving you stuff? Or performing procedures on you. Wait a minute. It's not my neck that hurts, my head hurts. The people were at a place where they were meeting needs. Here's my point. We can't close ourselves in here and really say that we're serving God if it's not doing anything out there. You got to be able to function in a way that God can use you. I'm going to pick on Hope Cupid this day. Hope, if many of you don't realize it, she is over a group called CERCAP. They help people with water in several states on the East Coast. And the whole thing is a lot of people would not have clean drinking water were it not for that organization. And I'm highlighting that because she had a hard time. She went through some struggles. Just like Dr. Franklin and others of you have gone through some struggles. Some of our people are facing struggles. But you don't let the struggles keep you from doing what you know God is telling you you need to do. Don't hold back. Don't make excuses. Put the sign out there. You are God's sign. You are the one speaking to the world about the love of God. If people say, well, show me the love of God, you say, I'm an example. He loved me, so therefore I'm going to treat you right. In such a nasty world in which we're living in now, Lord, bless us to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Amen. You could get out on the highway. You're scared to even wave at somebody on the highway. You don't know what's going to happen. But thank God the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. Second thing that we got to be concerned about with this sign is the message. What is the message? The religious leaders said, it's going to all die down. Don't worry about it. You know, they're just a fad. It's just a movement. But here it was a couple of years later, and the church is still thriving because they had a relevant message to say to this world. We're living in a day and age now where there's so many lies, you don't know what the truth is. But I tell you what, get in this book. Get on your face before God and say, God, speak to my heart, and watch how God uses you. Watch how he infuses you with information that this world has never known. I'm so glad that the people responded to God's word. Amen. The Bible said they brought people to the Lord. If they were doing a shabby job, you're not bringing anybody anywhere. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We may not be able to preach like Paul, may not be able to sing like angels, but we can tell the love of Jesus. We can tell how he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And ladies and gentlemen, the thing that I am so concerned about is that the message of the church is being lost, not because it's not available. It's available, we're just simply not carrying it. We got to make sure that we are telling the world that God is real. And he's a good God. He loves us. The last thing is, here we go. Here we go. You got to keep the sign clean. Put it in the right place. Make sure that the message is right, but then keep it clean. All of the things that have been happening in the church, scandals that have come up, all because people wanting to do things their way rather than doing it God's way. You got to keep the message and the sign of your life clean. You got to live so God can use you, like the Nightingales used to sing. Live so the Lord can use you any way and any time. Amen? Whatever you do, Colossians, in word or in deed, do it with all your heart, as unto who? The Lord, and not unto men. You got to make sure that you're available for God to use you. And then you've got to ask him to use you in a way that it will draw people to him. Remember, the object is not us. It's not what we're doing, but it's what God can do through us. I want to ask you a question. You can write this down. What can God do with your life if you're fully available? A lot of us are so busy, we got to carve out time for God. You know, we got to make sure that we're setting aside time. Well, okay, I'm going to pray at this hour. Well, I thought you needed him every day. I thought you needed him every minute. How come you're going to put him on a schedule? Like you got an appointment for God. What if he put you on a schedule? What if he said, you know what, I'm going to skip your next heartbeat, and I'm going to skip your next breath and not let you breathe it until next week sometime. Lord have mercy. But he's good to us every day. And therefore, we've got to make ourselves available to him each and every day. You give yourself to the world. Every day, I guarantee you always say to yourself, where's my cell phone? Come on now. If you want to mess with a young person, take away their cell phone. Lord have mercy. They won't even know how to live. Young people got phones. Hey, man, I was grown and we didn't have a phone in our house. How many of y'all from the country? Be real now. But what I'm saying is that we're assigned to the world. And that sign has to be available for God to use us. Let me give you some thoughts about a sign. What are the things that we look at when we talk about our signage and what we're to say and how we're to live our lives? First of all, we're saying God provides. The Holy Spirit provides for your life. You would get absolutely nothing out of heaven if it weren't for the power of the Holy Spirit that moves in your life. The very breath you breathe, the attitude of serving God, the attitude of wanting to do what's right, that can only come from a holy God. He provides for you. And not only does he provide the spiritual things, he provides the natural things that you need in your life. Matter of fact, when you got up this morning, I know that time had changed. You said to yourself, I'm going to set my alarm clock. Some of y'all still got up late. Some of them still ain't here yet. But it was God who provided for you. And you've got to recognize that. The sign of your life should always say, whatever I have, it came from God. Amen. Second thing is with protection. Having God to protect you, having him to watch over you. You don't realize how many times that death sought to take you out last night, but you're still here this morning because God protected you. And not only does he protect you in a way that is physical, but he also protects you spiritually and morally. You're not that good that you could keep yourself. You'd be doing all kinds of things were it not for the fact that the one who rules in your heart also governs your action. So the things you used to do, you don't even want to do them anymore because he's on the end. He is protecting you. The thoughts that bombard your mind, the things that sometimes the peer pressure that says, come on and do this with us. And you say to yourself, something on the inside says, that's not right. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a part of that. God protects you. He's protected some of you in ways that you can't even imagine. When you were in danger, you were in harm's way. And the devil was getting ready to take you out. God said, no, it's not their time. That's the Lord, amen? Not only does he provide us with these provisions and protection, but also progress. Progress. I've always said that if you're a Christian, you ought to be growing. You ought to be growing. You ought to be learning a little bit more about God. You ought not be talking the same nonsense that you talked the last time. When the devil attacks you, rather than saying, I'm going to lose this battle, you ought to be saying to the devil, you don't know how good my God is. I have watched as far too many Christians have given in to that negative conversation. Well, it don't look like we're going to make it this time. I pray you don't go into the hospital with that attitude. Amen. Amen. You need to help your medical team out. You need to start saying, Doc, I believe we're going to make it. I believe the Lord's going to do a work in it. You do what you need to do and God's going to do his work. Be positive. The world is filled with negative folk, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, you know, if you start talking negative, don't be surprised when I tune you out and walk away, because I can't take that. I'm all about progress. I'm all about moving forward. I'm all about giving God thanks and giving him praise, because guess what? When I think about it, how far he brought me from, and when I think about where I'm going, I got a little ways to go, but I thank God where I came from. Anybody want to thank him today? Yeah, yeah, we might as well go on and shout. He brought you from a mighty long way. He's been good to you. He's watched over you, and he's helped you. But the other thing that you learn on your sign that you ought to be telling the world every day, he is my peace in the midst of this storm. People worried about what's going to happen politically. I don't worry about it. The kingdom belongs to God anyway. You know, you can't sleep at night worried about who's going to get in the White House. I'm just thankful God is on the throne. Hello, somebody. I'm messing with y'all now. I'm going to sit down in a minute. But aren't you glad he's your peace? Aren't you glad that when there's troubles and wars everywhere, that you have something on the inside that tells you the same God that brought you this far is going to keep you every step of the way? Let me ask you another question. How many times has the Holy Spirit whispered to you, everything's going to be all right? You were getting all worked up. You were getting all upset. But soon you heard something speak in your heart and tell you it's going to work out. Don't worry about it. Keep your hand in my hand and I'll show you the way. Now, just as a testimony, can you just wave your hand and say, I'm still here because he talked to me? You got to have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Isn't that what Jesus said? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And when you overcome the world, you're saying, God, you're the ruler of my life. Amen. So the closing question I want to ask you, What's on your sign? What's on your sign? Does your sign say God is still in control? Or is your sign saying, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it? Is your sign saying the Lord is my shepherd? He's the light of my life. What's your sign saying? Now, I know some of y'all got the zodiac thing. I got rid of that a long time ago. When I got born again, I realized that being a Sagittarius wasn't anything compared to being a child of God. Come on now. Yeah, when I got born again, I was born. I know I'm messing with somebody. I know you read your zodiac this morning. What does it say to me? I read the word and it said a whole lot to me. You got to make sure that your anchor holds and that you're resting on that solid rock. Because God did not bring you this far to leave you now. If you're a child of God, if you really believe, if you love Jesus, you ought to show some sign. You ought to let the world know that he's real. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We praise you for your goodness and mercy. And Lord, I want to just thank you for how you're working in our lives. The sign of the Holy Spirit being alive in us, working in us to do even the impossible. We love you today. And Lord, I pray for that person that maybe have never made a decision about serving you. I pray that they'd make that decision today. Turn it over to you and let you become the ruler of their life. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to ask you all stand. Give the invitation today if there's one that's lost and maybe you've never joined the church, never been a part of it. Want to do that today. Give you that invitation. If you're online, you can't come in here. I realize that. But what you can say is, Lord, I believe. Then correspond with us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and we'd love to have that correspondence with you. Amen. Amen.
No matter how old,
how
they live together.
Amen.
Christian just won't quit.
Amen.
Christian just won't quit.
Dr. Beverly to come and desire to be a part of our fellowship here at the church. I told him that I needed a good doctor. Amen. But I am so thankful he's been worshiping with us here at Crossroad, and he's come to be a part based on your Christian fellowship, Christian experience rather, and he's wanting to join with our church. So we're going to entertain a motion at this time that we receive Dr. Beverly. Properly moved and second to receive Dr. Beverly based on his Christian experience as a member of our church. Now you know what you're voting for, right?
Amen.
You're voting to help and support him. Amen.
Amen.
All in favor, let it be known by the usual sign.
Amen.
Any contraries, so moved and carried. Dr. Beverly, we are thankful that the Lord has blessed you. Our church has a focus on health, and I'm quite sure that we can use your talents and gifts to help us along that journey. So thank God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Brethren, let's greet him in our church family. You may be seated. I'm going to have our young people, if you would, to gather around the altar as we close. Brother Sean wanted to have all of the young people to gather around.
Lord, I'm praying.
they're coming. All the young folks. Amen. Whether you're on the choir or not, you can just come on down. Look at these young people coming. Look at them. Look at them. Young people, y'all haven't learned this yet. Well, you're gonna be singing this song. Stay right there, stay right there.
To you.
All right. You brought me through this. You're gonna say it one day.
You
brought me through. God Almighty, I thank you for our young people. And I know that they're under attack. I know that the enemy wants them because it represents the fruit. It represents the fruit of our generation. It represents the fruit that's going into the future. But the devil is alive. And God, you have spoken over their lives that you said, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord." And God, I want to thank you for claiming these young people for your very own. Protect them now from the drugs. Protect them from the culture. Protect them from the lies and all of the things that could happen in their life. And I pray that through the storm and through all of the trials that they would face, you'd make them victorious. Give them a desire in their heart to do what's right and to serve you in spirit and in truth. I speak your word over them. I speak your grace over their lives. Lord, would you bless them? Lord, would you keep them in school? Help them to learn and help them to become everything that you would have them to be. God, I want to thank you for them right now. And I pray that your grace and mercy would rest upon them and would rule in their heart. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen.
There were clothes in my bed.
A great day of celebration. God has been good. Now I want you to do this when you go out. Show your sign.
Amen.
Let people know that God is real. Amen. Can you do that?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Joe.
Father, we thank you today that you have blessed us, oh God, with this spiritual blessings. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, that you have given to us to give back to you. Not only, Father, a portion of what you have blessed us with, but with our lives. Give all of our lives to you so that we may be used of you. So we do pray, asking a blessing upon this offering, that it may be used, Father, to tell others that Jesus is Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. And let the church say amen.